Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Sunday, the 3rd of May. I'm getting them fired up, don't you? I get them fired up with the old pods when I start. This is becoming like Brexit all over again. Started with my little Morgan yesterday. Interesting. I love people's take on things. I love their complete misunderstanding of what I'm getting at. It entertains me, I'm not going to lie. And I don't love the fact that everything has to be black and white. And that really is my overriding feeling of it all. I mean, I can say it and people just dismiss what I say anyway. So it's sort of fruitless. I had a few good discussions yesterday, very entertaining. My view on it, I keep saying, is... like Brexit, everything has become almost like it's a match or an exam that people have got to pass or fail, or a match you've got to win or lose. There's no middle ground in anything. There's these two polarised views. You know, it was Brexit, remain and leave, and that was it. Nobody wanted to listen to anybody else. I remain no matter what. I'm leaving no matter what. And this is the same. The government have fucked it up no matter what, and the government have got it right. I'm defending them. There's no middle ground anymore. You know, I've all my life watched politics, and I've heard Labour politicians say things. I think, yeah, I agree with that. That's quite a good idea. And I've seen Conservative politicians, and I go, yeah, I agree with that. That's quite a good idea. And similarly, I've gone, you're talking shit, and you're talking shit. In my opinion, only my opinions. Only my opinions, not facts. But there are facts out there that you cannot run away from. And my whole thing with Morgan isn't anything to do with other than the way he goes about doing what he does. People think he is portraying himself as a people's champion. It is how he goes about what he does. He does it for self-promotion. It's so blatantly obvious. It might as well just come and whack you in the face. Simple fact, they're still there. Downing Street put out two tweets, one on the 5th of April, one on the 6th of April. The one on the 5th of April said 100,000 people. The one on the 6th of April said 100,000 tests. That's it. He chose the one that suited his narrative. That was the only point I was making. I said yesterday, you know, the scientists have said they're only going to count these tests once. So if they're counting them on the way out, they're not going to count them on the way back in. Somebody told me, well, no, they're going to count them twice. The guy said it, the head of testing said it, and I'm finding it, what I am getting annoyed, incredibly disrespectful to these people, these scientists, John Van Tam, Chris Whitty, as if people are saying that they're government stooges. How disrespectful is that to these people who've worked all their life to become top in their field, to, because they don't say what you agree with, just dismiss it and say, oh, well, they're fucking making it up, they're saying that. I mean, you take the airport thing, this is going to be the next thing. John Van Tam, I've said this on here, said two times I heard, and I read it in an article that he'd done on another occasion, the reason they let people come in at the airports, because with the rate of infection in the UK, it wasn't going to make any difference at that time. Once the infection comes down, then that would be something that would be looked at. And would need looking at. That was his exact words. We've now got the infection down, rate of infection down. So now they are looking at, do they need to stop people coming in or test people? That's exactly what he said. He's been very consistent. Not a politician, that's what the scientists said. Oh, government U-turn, they should have shut the airports down. No, that's what that's become. No, it's not. It's exactly what he said. Chris Whitty has said, international, you know, yesterday, two people on my WhatsApp, we've got the second worst death rate. It's not over. This is like a team leading 2-0 and you're saying the other team. It's not a game. It's not a competition. I don't know what a mark is for deeming this a success or failure. The whole thing's a massive failure. I am certain that there'll be things that come out that it should have been acted on earlier. All that. I'm not disputing that in the slightest. What I'm disputing is we've got to get on with it. We are where we are. Unfortunately, we've got the government that we've got. They're here. They're not going to disappear. They are the people in charge. You've got to try and they've got to get on with it. And we'll look back. There will be masses of reviews into this going forward. Masses. We'll know what they knew when. But just making stuff up to suit your narrative, and because it's, you know, Les, I love Les Kev. I'm not having a dig at Les, because I do like him. Les is a self-confessed JC, Jeremy Corbyn fan. I don't think somebody like Les, any Conservative could say anything that he'd ever agree with. That's fine. That's his right. That's his opinion. It doesn't mean we've all got to agree with it or whatever. All I just try and take a view of, we've got to get through this. We've just got to try and get through it. And I like to see improvement. So I was pleased the test numbers are up, because I see that, in my limited knowledge, as the only way we move any of this forward at the minute. Until a vaccine comes, we've got to try and find a way to live, and testing will be the thing. So if they're ramping it up, if the scientists are working their arse off, and that's my point, Matt Hancock's not out testing people. He's not doing anything. He's coming out the front and saying a few words. These people are out there ramping it up, doing their work. Have a bit of respect for that. Just have a bit of respect for what goes into it. You know, the Nightingale Hospital, I think they've only used 150 of the 4,000 beds. I hear they may be taking it down. I don't agree with that. Don't take it down. There's going to be a second wave of this in the winter. It's definitely going to come back. The public will not act responsibly enough for there not to be. It won't be as bad, hopefully, but it will definitely come back. We might need that. I don't understand why they would take it down. Keep it going until we're through the end of it. There's things I'd look at and disagree. But comparing international numbers, why do it at the end? Do it at the end. What's the point in trying to have a league table every day and take a look at where we are? We don't know where we're going to end up compared to other people. You know, again, that Chris Whitty has said, do not compare because people are measuring differently. No, they're not. I read something Spain yesterday, absolute categorical out of a Spain government thing. It was in Spanish, I had it translated. There's a region in Spain, they've reported 1,732 overall deaths. In the same document, there's 2,400 in the same region, 2,300 care home deaths. So which one is it? Is it 4,000? Is the 1,700 hospital? We won't know till the end of all this. But people almost using it as a league table to beat a stick. All I'm trying to say is, let's have a bit of positivity and move forward. And I object wholeheartedly to people like, whatever the subject, Georgie Bingham last week in sport, Morgan this week. People are holding these people up as if they know something. They're not. They are self-promoting, using fake news, bits that they want to pick out, if you like, to further their agenda, and it whips up a storm. And that's the world we live in. I've accepted now that's the world we live in, right through Brexit, Trump in America, whatever. Why do you think Trump tweets things like liberate Michigan? Why do you think it? He's not doing it for any other reason than for his own base, to get them riled up. That's the world we live in. And all I say to people, try and look a bit beyond that. Try and look a bit beyond that. You know, my mum gave me some great advice years ago. And bear in mind, I know Suggsy. She said, Ian, listen to everyone. Even the fucking biggest idiot in the world may have something worth saying. I actually agreed with somebody. Oh, you never agree with anything Morgan said. I don't genuinely know. I don't like the way he goes about it. But when he wrote that article on Trump, I read it. I couldn't not agree with it. He wrote an article in the week that Simon Dennis said difficult to disagree with any of this. I disagreed with quite a bit of it. That's opinions. We're allowed to do that. But all I ask, a bit of flexibility. Have a bit of flexibility. We're not sat in these rooms. People are acting as if they're in the room. You're acting as if you're in there and you know everything that's going on. Nobody could turn around and say a Labour government would have done better. You can think it. You can't ever prove it. You can't turn around and go, it would have all been different under Labour. We don't know. We'd have still been having the same experts, I'm sure. You'd have still been having the chief medical officer. They're not going to sack him and get a new one in. Are they? I don't know. But to turn around and go, it would all be, it's an argument you can't win because you can never prove it. So let's deal with what's happening each day and try and get through it as a nation. I just want to see a bit of unity. And I said after Brexit, I can't ever see how this country comes together. And people like Morgan, they thrive on the divide. That's what they thrive on. Because he can look which way the wind blowing. I'll say that today because that'll appeal to that lot. I'll say that today because that can appeal to that lot. And, you know, there was a man, he said he voted Remain as soon as about a year had passed when the Tory government, what you got to remember, they've won three elections in, 15, 17, 19, with over 60-odd% turnout in what I think is one of the worst periods of governance in my lifetime, in what I've witnessed. But Labour couldn't, and Labour didn't step up and win it. And And I know exactly what the arguments were. Come on, mate, it was biased, Facebook ads, this, that. It was. I don't doubt that that's gone on. But that's my point. We should be able to try and find a way through that. You know, somebody linked me to an article yesterday with that exact thing, 5,042 or whatever, Facebook ads misleading from Tories, none from Labour. In the very same paper, if you read the bottom of it, it said something that 7% of Labour ads were found to be misleading. I don't know, I don't use Facebook, I don't go on it. Why would you want to go and find your news on Facebook or Twitter? Why is that where you think that that's going to be the place to find your news? It should be places to interact with your family and friends and have a bit of a laugh. Why would you think that's where, I know what I'm going to do, I'm going to find, but that's the world we live in. Oh, Facebook said it must be right. Twitter said it must be right. Mental. Absolutely mental. And that's all I got, but keep it coming. I like the old wars. Keep it coming. Lose a few followers every day. Don't bother me. Doesn't bother me in the slightest. Belarus. Let's go vodka drinking. That's where we are. Right, I've got a couple of matches with value today. Unders in Vitebsk versus Slavia at 2 o'clock. Unders, but the price is climbing. The last recorded price I had was 2.64. I see it's up to 2.78 to lay now. Climbing, there is value in that price still, but it's whether you want to get involved at those prices. But you could lay over 2.5 at Vitebsk or back under and trade that if you wish to. Obviously, if you back the unders, the price will decrease as goals go in, and you can lay it again, or you can lay it and the over price will drift and back it over 2.5 at Vitebsk. Nothing in the Bartey Borisov game, a little bit of value in the home win. But nothing that I would get diving into. And then Shakhtar Soligors versus Islok. We backed Islok at home last week. Again, it's not knowing the league. I think the home price here is based purely on the head-to-head. Shakhtar Soligors have got a great record against Islok. But, you know, Islok are up second in the league. Scoring goals, so I couldn't be backing Shakhtar Soligorsk at a short price, but there is value in the over 1.5 and over 2.5. So again, you could play either one of those, wait 20 minutes and do the 1.5, or back the over 2.5 through the first 10 minutes. It is a game also, if it was no goals and it was 0-0 late on, 65 on, I would be looking to lay the draw. So that's where my action would be today. Shakhtar Soligors versus Islok in the goal markets, 1.5, 2.5, both value. Again, I'm not going to back at 1.4. I'd wait 20 minutes and get involved. But 2.5, you could go in through the first 10, as I say, and laying the draw late on if it is 0-0. I would look to lay the draw, cover any liability on the goal markets. Somebody asked me yesterday. Obviously I'm doing this every day and there's no football and racing and things to talk about. So I keep saying to you, if you've got topics, things you want to do, do feel free to email in and it'll add to it. But somebody asked me yesterday, what's the best bit of betting advice I could give? And I've had a good think about it. And I could talk about modelling, I could talk about value, I could talk about pricing, I could talk about all sorts of things. But again, I'll come back to, for the average punter, I don't think that is the starting point. You know, the books I've been giving you have been on mindset, discipline, getting yourself set. I firmly believe that is the starting point for most people, because that's where they go wrong. But really, it's a bit of advice that I think you take through life in general. And I'm going to quote my mum for the second time, and this is a well-known saying, but she said it to me when I was younger. Ian, it's okay to make mistakes, but to keep making the same one is criminal. And I think that is the biggest bit of advice I could give to people, is obviously what you've been doing hasn't worked if you're losing. Why would you just keep doing the same thing, keep repeating the same process? So you might get a load of data and filter 100% or 4 out of 5 at home in the 2.5 market, and then you lose money. Why would you then think, oh, I'll filter 4 out of 5 second half goals, that might be better. Why would you think that would win? And I think that's the big thing. You know, I've said for a good couple of years now, people should sit down and write what they're doing, where they want to get to, and how do you go about doing that? What is the steps you would take? and I almost certainly guarantee it would be cutting out pretty much what you're doing now. And I know there's people who've changed things, and it, you know, Lee Stanerland yesterday tweeted he had value in the over 3.5, wasn't involved. Brilliant. I'm not fussed whether he was involved or not. Lee has watched me talk about modelling and doing things, and he set about and did it himself, sent it to me, done a really good job, proved to himself there was value in those prices. Of course, you still need the goals to go in. That's the key. But if you're betting in that way, where you're making the correct bets over time, then you're going to win. So I think the biggest bit of advice I would have is really write down, list where you've been, what you've been doing, and stop making the same mistakes. You know, I see it particularly with people pre-race trading and things. I know nothing about those markets whatsoever. I don't involve myself in them because I don't know about it. But people, I did all this and then, I lost a lot in one bad race. I've done the same thing again. Well, don't. To me, it's simple. Don't keep doing that. Look at why you did it, make some notes, and make sure you don't do it again. And I think, you know, it's well known that quite often punters will have a reasonable winning run, and then they'll give it all back in one really bad day. And that's the sort of thing. Keep doing that. And I know it's not just as simple as me saying it. You've got to go through the process of how you got there and take the steps to undo that and do it over a period of time. But yeah, I think that would be the biggest advice I would have is, you know, if you're doing it's the old Einstein, isn't it? If you're doing the same thing and expecting different results, then you're slightly mad. So look at what you're doing and look at what you could change to turn it around. I fundamentally believe, contrary to many, that you can win at this game. I think I prove that you can win at this game. I think there's plenty of others who do win at this game. It's just a matter of trying to go about it the right way. So it's you know, Gary Smith, I said to him, I think anybody can be me. I generally believe that, but I accept that it might take a journey to get there. But that's what I firmly believe, that anybody can sit in. I don't see myself as special in that way, in any way, shape or form. But I'd put the graft in. That's the area. I put the graft in and do it. And even over this last week with Belarus, the things I've shown people, they know why they're having the bet. That's the key. They're now looking, going, I know why I'm having that bet. And that's it, I guess. There you go. Right. I don't know whether that's any help to anybody whatsoever. And given that, the book of the day is Mind Hacking. Good book, this. Mind Hacking, How to Change Your Mind for Good in 21 Days. Tenner on the Kindle. Conquer Fear. That's one of the big things that people sort of say to me. A fear of losing holds them back. So Mind Hacking by Sir John Hargrave, How to Change Your Mind for Good in 21 Days. Yeah, that's it. That's the book. What else have we got? Belarus, I'm using that as the stat of the day. You've got that. We've got Korea back next week. Football obviously seems to be a big debate in this country over what to do. I do struggle to tie up the integrity angle. I think they say you've got to finish the league for the integrity of it, but then we're talking of using neutral stadiums and things. I don't see where the integrity in that. It does start to stink more and more if we've got to finish the league for the money. If you're talking of integrity, then you've got to. I mean, I've heard, again, I've only heard, haven't got factual evidence. I've heard that if the league does start and Liverpool win their two games they require, they're then going to play kids. Where's the integrity in that? Where's the integrity in Norwich playing a team of kids where Brighton might have played Liverpool's first team? I think it's just a mess of football for me. And in the grand scheme of things, it's not overly important at the minute. I don't say that as somebody who wants to bet on it. I just say that when people are dying, you know, football really is, you know, we want to return to some form of normality, don't we? And I know football people say, well, that is normal, but I think grandparents seeing their grandkids and people being able to visit relatives and things is a bit more important than whether Liverpool play Leicester. Certainly is for me at the minute anyway. Want the football back for the punting side, but I think in this country it's got to be done right. I think for people to think that Liverpool will not turn up, Liverpool fans will not turn up on the brink of winning a championship en masse, I think is just daft, and I know Liverpool fans will have a go at me about that, but I can't see any way that Liverpool are playing in a stadium behind closed doors to win their first Premier League that you're not going to have certainly hundreds, if not thousands, of Liverpool fans outside. I can't see any way in the world that doesn't happen. And those are the sort of things that you've got to look at. Anyway, I'm waffling again. I'm all over waffling. Right. So I've done mind hacking. Joke. We got a joke. I don't even know. Actually, somebody said to me, yeah, you might have sold this one. I don't know whether I have myself or not now. This is not nice, this one. This is Brian. This is not nice, Brian. But I'm going to read it as you've given it to me. A farmer goes into his wife's bedroom with a sheep under his arm and says, this pig is what I have to revert to make love when you refuse me. The wife tells him, I think you will find that pig is a sheep. The farmer replies, I was talking to the sheep. Oh, not nice, Brian. Not nice. Not be nice. That's not nice, is it? Dear me. There you go. But Brian, you got yourself on, son. Got yourself on. No birthdays today. Recipes. Have I done the recipe? Oh, she's abandoned ship, isn't she? Since this flipping grandchild come along, she's all abandoned ship, abandoned the pod. See, it's no dedication to get up and do this pod every day. Done about a week now, she's sodded off. See, pictures of babies and things, useless. Right, we're getting towards barbecue season, aren't we? I know we can't have many people around, but you probably like a bit of a barbie. I'm going to tell you what to do, because not the burgers, not the sausages, not the steaks, boring. I'm going to tell you where it's at. Brisket is where it's at. This is absolutely stunning. Barbecued brisket with a bit of barbecue sauce. I'm going to talk you right through it. First things first, let's make the barbecue sauce. You want an onion, some garlic, 500ml good dose of ketchup, 100ml of Worcester sauce, 75ml of lemon juice, some brown sugar, tablespoon of malt vinegar, couple of teaspoons of mustard, a drop of Tabasco in there, and some crushed chili flakes. Heat oil in a pan, cook the onion and garlic till soft, then add everything else in with some salt and pepper, and just cook it for about 20 minutes. So just cook that for about 20 minutes, and from there, then when you've cooked it, take it out and blend it so that you don't, so it's nice and smooth. So just make that sauce up, put it to one side for the minute. Right, then get your brisket, obviously depending on how many people you're cooking for, but I like to do big barbies and have a nice big bit, 2 or 3 kilos. And on your brisket, we're going to get some rub. So get it up to room temperature and then get some chili powder and mustard powder, couple of tablespoons or teaspoons rather of each. Some paprika, some pepper, some cumin, lob all that in a bowl, crushed bay leaf, rub all that together and then rub it all over the meat, absolutely smother the meat in it, completely rub it in, make sure it's good firmly rubbed in, get your hands messy, then put that in a roasting tin first and pour over 0.5 litre of beef stock and some of the barbecue sauce, just about a third of your barbecue sauce. Just mix that in with it. Cover that tin with foil. Put the brisket in the oven. Again, depending on the size, if you've got a 2-3 kilo bit, you want to put it in the oven for 2-3 hours. Round about an hour a kilo. Take it out there. You can do that the night before, so that is ready then. That is just ready. Just leave it in the tin to cool. There, right, and then when it comes to barbecue time, get the barbecue fired up nice and hot. You want to let it die down, so if you're using coals, not at the fiercest heat, let it die down a bit. Get the beef out the roasting tin onto the barbecue and just char it about 20 minutes, char it all over, just char the sides all over, and then lift it off with your tongs or your fork and serve it with the rest of the sauce that you've got left. Absolutely beautiful barbecued brisket. It is absolutely gorgeous. I actually saw, I did watch old Fred Gino and what's his name? what's the other one? Gordon, Fred G, and they were doing a barbecue the other day, weren't they? I watched that, and they were doing it, and he put it on without cooking it beforehand. I think that tends to dry the outside out, but who am I to argue with Gordon Ramsay? But I like to cook it in the oven a bit and then char it on the barbie, and you make sure it's cooked nice and juicy through then, particularly if you cook it in the stock, it doesn't dry out. There you go, barbecue brisket. Right, there. Yeah, I'm better at the barbecue brisket than I'm better at the recipes than anything else. Right, I've done the joke, done that. I've been the facts. People keep arguing with me about them, can't be doing with it. I haven't got time to be arguing about battles of Hastings and battles of battles. So they were just something I thought. So, yeah, topics, guys, anything you want me to talk about? I think we've got another 2 or 3 weeks and then we are going to start seeing some football. And I will turn my attention to those leagues then and what we've got. But anything you want me to discuss, feel free to let me know and I will do it. Don't forget, we've got FTS Connect. If you're feeling lonely, there's people you want to talk to, drop me an email, I'll link you in. We've got FTS Fitness up on the website, little workouts that you can do to keep fit. And let's just be nice. Let's just accept that people may have differing views. And as I say, even the biggest idiot may have something to say. Hey, Liz, even if he's a Tory, Liz, you might have one. You won't have one who says something you agree with. I do like Liz. I think if you follow Liz's Twitter feed, it's absolutely brilliant because he just, I mean, by his own admission, he's, I think in the profile of it, it says something like, my Twitter account is to abuse Tories. And Boris will post something and he just posts one word answers. Prick. It does make me laugh. Anyway, there you go. I guess I'm almost apolitical, I think. I think that's the thing with me. I'm almost apolitical. I think they're all fucking troffers. I think all of them. I think if you look in, I mean, look at old, the one, I mean, I cannot bear this man. We haven't seen him for fucking months, have we? Old Rees Mogg. I mean, we haven't seen him. He is a fucking, another one, despicable individual. But we haven't seen him for ages, have we? Since he made those comments about Grenfell. But I just think so many of them, all parties, all ends up are in it for themselves. That's what I think, ultimately. But they are the people we've got to trust to get on and run the country. Trust, I realise, is probably not the right word, but they are where they are. And this lot are here for another 4 years, certainly. So just got to get on with it. But facts. Can't have your own facts. And the numbers, that Spain thing, eye-opening. You can't, it's too easy just to say, oh, look at them, look at that. It's a disaster. The whole thing is a disaster. I'm not here jumping. The whole thing here is, I just think it's a tragic, tragic shame. And I think there's people working their arse off and there's people waking up every day having lost family members. And I think when you get this polarised view, all that gets ignored. And I think that's the crying shame of it. And it's nothing to do with you've got to know somebody who dies. I think it's absolutely tragic that every day 200, 300, 400, 500 people are dying. And all that's going to come out. Did they die of the virus? Was it linked to it? Whatever. You know, I saw something yesterday about obesity linked to it. You know, obesity is a massive problem in its own. A massive problem. I've talked about that. We've become the States. It's a massive problem. People eating shit. That's what that's down to. Not having it any other way. People just eating unadulterated fucking shit. Not cooking brisket like this. Not following the old FTS recipes. You don't get obese on here. Right, I'm off. Yeah, apologies if I upset people. Don't mean to. Just having a yabber. Right, have a lovely, lovely... Oh, we got poker tonight. Nearly done it again. Here we go, Kev Kelly, a classic. I've gone about 4 times today. We got a poker tourney tonight. Do come in and join us. They're great fun. 11 knicker. Doesn't matter if you've not played before, most of us haven't. Great fun, couple of old sharps in there. We got Arthur the Axe, that was a great nickname the other day. Art went off like a train knocking everybody out the day. He was nicknamed Arthur the Axe, but he crashed and burned. No, do come and join us. Download PokerStars, join the club, FTS Income Club, the numbers on Twitter, and register for the tourney. Yeah, come and join us. £11, 7:30 tonight. I'll see a few of you in there later. Right, enjoy yourselves. Have a lovely Sunday, whatever you're doing. Big week this week. We're going to find out some of the plans to move some of us out of this hell. Right, crack on. See you later.